Israeli chief of staff warns that Israeli forces are on course to collapse. This is real, by the way. Chief of Staff Zamir warns IDF will collapse soon due to lack of manpower, raises 10 red flags. They're having trouble. Real trouble. If there is no solution to the shortage of manpower, IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir warned in remarks during a security cabinet meeting held on Wednesday. I'm raising 10 red flags before the IDF collapses into itself. Now, there's two elements to this. On one hand, it makes sense that a chief of staff would be like, come on, guys, we need more recruitment. We're going to fall apart. We need more recruitment. Nazi said the same thing. But legitimately, Israel is facing a lot of stress right now. You know, they're very used to dishing it out, but not so much taking it, which is why the depletion of their interceptors and Iron Dome capabilities have led to a lot of disillusionment now that Iran seems to be able to strike Israel with, well, not with impunity, but a lot more easily than people were hoping, you know? Yeah, typical bullies. Also, they're having a severe manpower shortage. Meal Team 6, thank you. A severe manpower shortage because the IDF is, like, everywhere. I mean, think about it. They have how many hundreds of thousands? They have, like, how many people in active deployment right now? Active IDF deployment. They've got people in the West Bank. They've got people in the Gaza Strip. They've got people occupying southern Lebanon. They've got people around the border. They've got people all over the fucking place. The military is looking to mobilize 400,000 reservists to shore up this. Yeah, they're moving to mobilize 400,000. That is a significant portion of the Israeli population. That's like, keep in mind that even in shithole-ass Russia, Putin has been wary about mass mobilization, though in that case it'd be conscription, not mobilization of reservists, but, you know, still, for just a small percentage of the population of the country. But this would be like, yeah, 5% of the population of Israel? They're still struggling with the Haredi population, which refuses to fight because they're fucking lazy. Haredi draft bill set aside amid war. Netanyahu announced from the beginning Operation Roaring Lion the draft bill would be set aside for unity reasons and would not be advanced during the war. It's actually a really big schism in Israel because a significant portion of Israel's population and also of their birth rate is Haredi Jews. They would be outraged if they were forced to fight because these people won't even get a fucking job, right? If they won't even get a fucking job, they don't want to fight in a war, okay? That's not their smoke. But they're a significant enough portion of the population that it would probably lead to severe social unrest if you started drafting them. Also, a lot of them would probably, like, you know, frag their commanding officers. Also creating a lot of resentment from the non-Haredi population, which is, to be fair, a little bit justified. Not to say that, you know, the average Israeli should be happy about baby mulching, which is, you know, clearly their favorite pastime. But if I were a Hitlerite Israeli being drafted by the government to fight in the IDF, I would not be happy if, like, a third of the population got to skip out in it just by virtue of being part of the lazy Orthodox cult. I would not be happy about this. They're also a massive strain on their welfare systems. Yeah, because they don't fucking work. It's crazy. Damn, they're doing, they say Israel's far right, but they're doing work abolition in Israel. You know, that's very left. Won't the Haredi wives go fight for them? Nah. Former IDF chief of staff Gadi Eisenkot, Yashar exclamation point, said that implementing a law for mandatory service is the need of the hour. It is a moral imperative. Only it will return Israel to the right path, fulfill the IDF's mission, and safeguard Israel's security. Reservist party leader Yoaz Hendel said the chief of staff is right. Listen to him. Victory requires soldiers. The government repeatedly uses the reservists as a resource and wears them down to the limit. Yashar! It sounds like something one would say in Silksong. It's not going well for Israel, you know? They're also having long-term morale problems. Keep in mind the IDF has been deployed for years. I mean, since October 7th, they have been cycling through, like, IDF deployments consistently. And there is a waning morale there. Yashar is a political party? Yeah, but why the exclamation point? Real question, why don't countries mass draft women? I mean, there's a lot of reasons that are sexist, but the general reason, like, historically, is that women in the draft age are supposed to be getting fucked and having kids, whereas guys can come back from the war and then fuck and have kids. It's pretty much that simple. If you want to keep your numbers up long-term, the women stay, they house rear, they keep the children safe, and they get pregnant, and the men can go off and die because one man can impregnate multiple women, doesn't work the other way. You can't have a baby in a war zone. Yeah, it's just very basic, like, biology. It's the stuff that transgenders don't want you to know about. You know, the wokeness is making illegal to talk about in science classes across the nation. No, this is not a problem that Israel can solve just by drafting women. They already do. I mean, women are also part of the IDF reservist force. So cucking military men is kind of patriotic? You're kind of right. You're just shoring up the nation's demographics, their replacement rate, you know? Oh, sorry, you know, sorry, GI, sorry, Jarhead, you're off in the Middle East right now. I'll take up my civic duty of impregnating your wife. How many Haredis will sign up? None. What are you fucking talking about, man? They're religiously exempt. Religiously exempt. It's crazy. Anyway, there's a point to this, you know? It goes beyond, like all bullies, right? They can dish it out, but they can't take it. The IDF is strained and overworked. They've been on constant deployment. Also, the average IDF soldier is just not that willing to die for the cause. You know, the Nazis were insanely hyped up on zealotry, and American soldiers enlisting in World War II knew what they were signing up for. They knew that they were signing up to, like, stop the world from ending. Like, they understood the stakes of this conflict. But a lot of IDF soldiers basically just... Jerusalem Post, what are you trying to hide from me? But you see that? They're the deep state. They're censoring it. They don't want me to know that the IDF is faltering. Conscription does not typically lead to eager soldiers. No. It's the same problem that you get from all modern developed countries, which is that people are comfortable and don't want to die. Israel is a modern country, okay? It's not America in the 1930s just coming out of the Great Depression. People aren't boiling their shoe leather to make soup over there. Israel is by and large a modern country in every respect except politically, where it's rooted in a 19th century attitude. But infrastructurally, they're modern. You know, people have gotten used to a comfortable life. Nobody wants to go out there and die for nothing. Everyone's lazy. No one believes in anything. It's kind of like how Nazis back in the 1930s died en masse to try to, you know, build out a Third Reich. But Nazis today would rather die than order pizza off the phone. Nazis today, like Fuentes, like America's strongest Nazi, Hitler posts for 5 years, and then his own community repeats his ideology back to him. And he goes, that's fucking cringe. I'm done. I'm a liberal now. I'm voting for Kamala Harris or whatever. Peace. Like, modern Nazis are not as committed as they used to be. No one wants to die. Everyone's weak. History ended, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same with the IDF. The IDF do not want to fight a peer-to-peer conflict. They do not want to get IED'd by Hezbollah, you know? The IDF wants to rape Palestinians and blow up apartment blocks filled with babies. Like, that's what they signed up for. And if you ask them to do more than that, they get uncomfortable. It's true. I gotta say, though, I'm a little bit nervous. My concern here is what happens if the Zionazis burn out early and they falter, and then Israel just kind of implodes a little bit, but then in 5 years we just end up doing this again. You know what I mean? Like, the IDF gets overstressed. They have to bring things to a halt. Israeli society kind of recedes for a bit as they lick their wounds. But 5 years from now, they treat this whole business like the fucking Treaty of Versailles. And they get uppity again, you know, and they start invading every neighboring country. Maybe the Haredi will save us, you know? In 5 years, 50% of the population will be Haredi babies or something. Are you actually worried about the Samson option, or is that more of a trivia fact? I'm super fucking worried about it, dude. Israel's government is insane. That's a real concern. They have hundreds and hundreds of nukes, and they think they're better than every other person on the planet. They're crazy. How many nukes they have? Estimates range between, I think, like 50 and 400, but the most credible, I think people, even Israeli prime ministers, have indicated they have something around 200 to 400. They aren't crazy enough to use nukes. I think they're 100% crazy enough to use nukes, given the right circumstances. Not like, you know, on a whim. They aren't, Vosh. I bet my life on it. Oh, you bet your life on nuclear war not happening? How brave of you. And what happens if you're wrong? You die in the same nuclear war as me, so no one's there to call the bet. I get you. Life insurance policy ass. Iran's still operating munitions economy. It can continue launching 10 to 15 missiles each day over the course of a month or two, and it has enough launchers to stay in that pace. It's insane. 10 to 15 missiles a day, even if this only translates into 3 or 4 accurate hits, could still shut down the entire Middle East in a matter of months. 4 years. I mean, God. All you have to do is hit the right facilities. You can't have regional instability anymore. You can't do it the way we used to be able to, you know? Jesus Christ. I mean, hasn't the Middle East as a whole shut down like 30% of its production? Around 30%, right? J.D. Vance said Iran could have used a nuke suicide vest. That's so funny. Did he really? Sure, man.
When I say options, I think it's important the American people know options for what? and it's options to ensure that Iran never has a nuclear weapon. You talk about people who walk into a crowded supermarket and have a vest on, and they blow up the vest and a couple of people get killed, and that's a terrible tragedy. What happens when what's on the vest is not something that can kill a couple of people, but can kill many, many tens of thousands of people? That is the most important American national security objective that exists for any administration at any time, is you don't want the worst people in the world to have a nuclear weapon. That's why the president is doing this. That's why the president cares so much about this particular issue.
I do appreciate him. Like, we all know J.D. Vance was not happy about this war because it fucks him for re-election. I'm so happy that they're forcing him to defend it, you know? Like, we know he's not happy about it because he basically stopped posting on Twitter when it happened. He used to be very prolific on Twitter. And then, well, I guess also part of it was the one guy. What's his name? You were the only baby ever worth trading for crack. Connor Reed's pants. Yeah, thank you. That had to be half of it. But the other half, I think, was the Iran war. When does Iran ever use suicide bombers? They did use suicide tactics a lot in the Iran-Iraq war, but no, suicide bombing, I think, has been more of a, like, insurgency thing. Iran hasn't been fighting an insurgency because nobody's invaded and occupied Iran. I mean, certainly they've provided aid and support to groups that have done suicide bombings, but that's not exactly the... Drones kind of replace suicide bombing. Like, why do a suicide bombing when you can get a drone, you know? New meta, for the love of the game. Iran did do a lot of wacky stuff when they were fighting Iraq, you know? All the mass civilian conscriptions walking into minefields. It's right after the Islamic Revolution. They got all their craziest motherfuckers, and they were like, all right, Saddam Hussein's laid mines like 100 miles this way, so just get to walking. Today, 30 to 40, from French Finance Minister Roland Lescure, said Wednesday, the world's now facing a conflict that has changed in nature, and therefore the economic consequences have also changed. Today, 30 to 40% of the refining capacity in the Gulf is damaged or destroyed. That is unbelievable. It has been less than a month. I spoke with the Qatari Minister of Energy, Saad Sherida Al-Kabi, who said 17% of gas production capacity is destroyed following attacks on these facilities, which will take years, 3 years at least, to restore. Insane. By craziest people, you mean teenage boys taking on mines to clear a bath? Yeah, you know, mad lads. War not over, though? No, Iran effectively controls the strait and probably will. I don't want to say indefinitely because that's a big call, but we do not seem to have the ability to stop them from controlling the strait. And as long as, especially with the recent reporting that Mohammed bin Salman apparently has been encouraging Trump to do these attacks, even as the rest of the Saudi Arabian government has opposed them, it seems to me like all of the regional governments are basically giving Iran permission to continue striking their facilities. You know, like, why the fuck wouldn't they? Israel's still invading Lebanon, still genociding Palestinians. There was never a ceasefire. They still kill. And the Gulf states are still, like, aiding and abetting the tyrannical Western and Israeli regime in the region. It really is crazy how much they fucked up. Yeah, in a minute we'll talk about the extent of the fuel crisis in East Asia and Australia, because it's getting really, really bad over there. Will Israel force us to get boots on the ground? Ken Klippenstein posted an article this morning where he talked about an inside report that claimed that Trump doesn't actually intend to take Karg Island, but is rather taking the threat to take Karg Island, using it as a kind of, like, deterrent, you know what I mean? Using it to put pressure on Iran to accept the 15-point deal that Trump and his cronies are pushing. But if that is the plan, I think it's an insane one. I do not think that Iran is going to agree to the plan. For one, Iran has already flatly said no. They have just very straightforwardly said no, and they're not even going to negotiate it. Iran said they would take a look at the plan, but that they have no interest in negotiating it because every time they negotiate with America, we interrupt the negotiations to bomb them, which is true. But the so-called peace plan is not workable. Iran will not agree to it. I would be shocked if they ever did, if something happened that pushed Iran to agree to our 15-point peace plan.
First, Iran today has dismissed a 15-point American plan to pause the war in the Middle East. This according to Iranian state television a short while ago. The Iranian government also reportedly announcing its own proposal today, asking for war reparations and for sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. With me now, Philip Turl, our foreign affairs editor, who's been following developments closely for us. Lots of news coming out of Iran, lots of statements. And a couple of hours before that, lots of statements coming out of Washington. What's your read as to where we are right now?
Trump extends pause on attacking Iranian energy facilities. Look, he's going to keep doing this up and down and up and down. It's all insider trading, okay? But while Trump continues to fuck with the market, slowly but surely, Iran is continuing to extend their influence over the region. They're striking more energy infrastructure. They're continuing to impose a toll on vessels that are passing through the strait. Nothing material is changing.
It's no surprise that we've had this...
Holy shit. Old Sam Hyde? His glasses are giving me Sam Hyde.
A statement by the Iranians following comments by Donald Trump earlier on that
you see it,
Iran
right?
wants a deal so badly it's given the US a prize related to gas, oil and Strait of Hormuz, and Iran dismissing that, saying that the US was negotiating by itself. Then this 15-point plan coming forward from the United States saying that that was also being discussed by Iranian officials. Donald Trump saying that they had very good people discussing it. But now, of course, we have this reply from Iran saying that they're not interested in the 15-point.
Every time I see Sam Hyde, I think of Trotsky. That's so unfair to Sam Hyde. He's nowhere near as authoritarian as Trotsky.
What Iran is saying here, two things Nader, that are important to understand. What Iran is saying here is basically what they said all the way down the line. That is, they want to keep control of the Strait of Hormuz. This is like their key negotiating platform. Once they lose the control of the Strait of Hormuz, they're going to have a lot less to negotiate with the United States, because that is going to keep them in a strong position.
99% of gas imports the U.S. come from Canada, so we should be fine. Yeah. But like, it's downstream stuff. It's everything that gets made via the oil. The global market still affects us. Also, domestic oil prices are affected by the global market, because even if we're trading internally, like if the market price of a barrel of oil is doubling or tripling out there, that's going to raise the price here, because oil companies, it's not all like kept internal, you know. A global supply shortage is a shortage domestically.
So what they want is to charge money for ships to go through the Strait of Hormuz. Friendly ships will pay about $2 million going through. Ships from countries from the United States and its allies are still not being allowed through. That is their negotiating tactic with the United States. But that's not all. As you said, there's also this negotiating tactic about reparations. They want $100 billion worth of reparations from Israel and
based.
From the United States. That's going to be a no-go from both of those countries. There are many other aspects that Iran is not going to give in to that were on this list of 10 points put forward by the United States. Just to give you a couple of those. The first one is to stop funding proxies in the region, like the Houthis, for example, like Hamas, like Hezbollah. That was certainly something that Iran has refused to do right away.
Check the urea market. Wow. Bottle your piss, guys.
Down the line, and it would certainly refuse to stop its ballistic missile program, which was one of the other elements on the table being put forward by the United States. So what we've got...
Fertilizer is going to be the real killer. Dude, it's actually worse than you think. It's not only a spike in fertilizer prices globally, it's a spike in fertilizer prices globally during many planting seasons, while we're about to get like a bunch of climate instability and an El Nino. Food prices are going through the goddamn roof.
It is pretty much a stalemate, I think, on the part of both countries. The United States...
Not really a stalemate, because Iran's winning. Like, Iran right now is selling oil at, like, twice the price it was before the war. Iran is sitting pretty at the moment, you know? They're doing fine.
Playing up, as Donald Trump has said, saying they're completely desperate. They want to negotiate. We're going to find a way out of this, to put himself in a good light.
It's a stalemate. It's a stalemate, you know? You can keep twisting my balls for as long as you want, and I can keep getting my balls twisted for as long as I want. Guess we'll just sit here forever with you twisting my balls.
The United States and with the oil markets. Remember, there's been a five-day delay on this ultimatum by Donald Trump to open the Strait of Hormuz or face bombing raids on power installations in Iran. That has led to a calming of the markets. But at the same time, Iran knows that it can play the long-term game here. What Iran wants is for the regime to survive. It can play as long as it wants to. It knows the United States and it knows that Israel...
I don't like the framing here. Like, what Iran wants is for the regime to survive. Dog, they were attacked. For no reason. Like, they're engaging in self-defense right now. That's not like, oh, what? Yeah, well, what they're most interested in is the survival of the regime. And like the country and the people, we attacked them. We bombed we killed their leaders, you know? Every country would defend itself under these circumstances if they had the ability to.
got a time clock hanging over their heads to get this war over and finished. The longer the Iranian regime knows it can hold on, the more chance it has of surviving in the long run.
And look, within the last few minutes, and we've heard from the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, Philip, he says, look, this war, and I quote, has gone on too far. He's calling for an end to both the Iranian attacks on the Gulf and obviously the Israeli-American attacks on Iran. But given that we have this American buildup of troops in the region, it doesn't seem that we may be particularly near a close to this, does it?
Well, we don't know what is going to happen next. The whole thing here, Nader, is that it's very unclear. The messages coming out of the United States are completely contradictory from one day to the next, from one minute to the next, from President Trump. The Iranian regime has not budged in its demand that the war come to an end and that the regime remains intact. That appears to be the case. Remember, the regime is...
That's not like... a demand in a negotiation. That's just a reasonable expectation of every country on earth. Like, oh yeah, the stubborn Iranians have insistently demanded that the regime remain intact. That's their government. Yeah, what do you mean? What's the alternative to that?
A despicable regime run by fanatical people, but it knows what it's doing. It's
very- as opposed to our regime, which is not run by fanatical people. Clip unrelated. Pete Hegseth at today's Christian prayer and worship service at the Pentagon prays for Almighty God to pour out your wrath and break the teeth of the ungodly. He begs the Almighty to sanction overwhelming violence against those who deserve no mercy. Meanwhile, over in the not religious regime run by fanatics, I'm not listening to him.
Well, encompassed within Iran, so it's not going anywhere anytime soon. I think the big error from the United States was thinking just a couple of days of bombing raids on Tehran and the regime would collapse and that would be the end of it. Well, that's not the case. So that was a total misjudgment on the part of the United States. That's why Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, has just been talking in the last few minutes saying that the world is staring down the barrel of a wider war.
There's no opposition there right now? Well, yeah, because, like, unfortunately, America and Israel proved the hardliners in Iran right. Iranian moderates have been proven wrong. Iranian moderates have been arguing for detente, for peace, for moderate talks with Israel and America. And what happened? We bombed them and killed all their leadership mid-peace talks. We killed them. We've proven the hardliners correct. Iran needs to nuclearize, maintain an incredibly strong regional presence, give more money to their fucking proxies. They have to.
Gone on far too long, and the human and economic pain will get worse the longer the fighting goes on. So a lot of concern around the world, certainly in Western capitals, in the Gulf, I think amongst people in the United States and also in Asia, about where this is all going to end up at the end of the day. And what President Trump's next plan is he preparing a ground offensive? There are all these troops being built up into the area, 5,000 Marines, 2,000 or so airborne troops coming in. Does that signal that at the end of this ultimatum on Friday, which is due to expire at midnight, that Donald Trump could launch some kind of ground offensive into Iran to win back the state of Hormuz or take control of Hag Island? We really don't know where all of this is going right now.
Well, no one seems to.